have your Bibles, Psalm 89, the scripture reading that we have in our staff devotional book. I don't know if you brought it with you, it's just a short reading, so I'll read for you. Maybe you've done it already this morning, taking note of it. Psalm 89. The heading of the day is Sing. And we read, begin the day by singing aloud of his mercy, and it will not forsake you during the day. His power will defend and protect you, so that when evening comes, you will sing of his faithfulness. Then the reference is given to us, Psalm 89, through verse 18. So maybe we'll just kind of go around. It might be easier if we just went one after the other than waiting for somebody to jump in. So whoever starts, the person next to you, just keep on going a verse at a time through 18 verses. And then we'll give you just a few minutes. If there's something that speaks to your heart, you can jump in with a thought, a word of encouragement, or however the Lord might lead you briefly. And most of us here are staff, and I'm told you have a lot of work to do today, so we can't be here too long. This is a psalm not written by David. It's written by Ethan the Ezrahite. You'll see under your Bibles, typically, under the heading of each chapter in the Psalms, who the author is, and maybe what the purpose of the psalm is. We hear of Ethan in 1 Kings 4, verse 31. He is actually, the comparison there is made to Solomon. 1 Kings 4 is speaking of Solomon's great kingdom and his accomplishments and his wisdom. And then it says Solomon's wisdom is even greater than, and it lists a few other great men of wisdom, and Ethan is one of those men. So here's somebody who led the world in wisdom and teachings, and was maybe considered one of the highest until Solomon showed up, then he got bumped down. But this is Ethan, the Ezrahite, and wrote this psalm that is called a maskil. You'll see that, and maybe under your heading in your Bible, maybe different, but a maskil is a how do you say the word when you contemplate? Contemplative psalm, a psalm that speaks of wisdom. Something that you're going to kind of sit and process. It's, you know how when some people talk, it takes a while to process it because they're so smart, or a lot smarter than you. And it sometimes hurts your brain to listen to them because it's so much work. And so you have to contemplate something because every sentence you say has deep meaning. And so anyway, that's a maskil psalm. It speaks of wisdom and contemplation. This is a psalm that's broken up into three parts. The first part are the 18 verses that we're going to read. And then the second part goes from verse 19 to 37. And they're similar in part and kind. And then from 38 to 52, the tone changes. Typically in the Psalms, we read a little bit about the laments and the struggles and the questioning, God, why this? And this doesn't seem right, and my enemies are against me. And there's usually sort of a battle that's kind of going on with the author of a psalm. And then it typically, almost always, will go from that to Nevertheless, I'll praise you, I'll exalt you, I'll rejoice in you, and it kind of works that way. This psalm is a flip, one of the few that does this. And it starts very encouraging today, and I thought maybe I shouldn't even say what the end of the psalm. It kind of is anticlimactic. But it's okay, because we'll get to that point later in a few minutes. But what's happening is he's remembering the promise that God gave to King David, that he would build him a house and a kingdom, and that there would be an inheritance to come. But now years later, he's looking and seeing that the kingdom of David, his house, is collapsing. The kingdom is divided. There's trouble. Other kings are following that are not pursuing the Lord the same. And so he begins with the praise of the mercies of God, the faithfulness of God, but then at the end he's saying, God, what's going on? You promised. You said you're going to build a house for David, and I'm not seeing it. And he kind of ends then on that note with that kind of a struggle. But anyway, that's a little bit of this psalm. So let's read it, and then you can jump in with a thought or two if you'd like. So who's going to start and begin the chain? Okay, 1 verse to 18.
I will sing song of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens.
You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant.
A descendant of yours will always be king. I will preserve your dynasty forever.
The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, with faithfulness too, in the assemblies of the holy ones.
For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the God, the Lord?
God is greater to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you.
You rule over the stirring seas when its waves mount up, you still them.
Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm.
The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them.
You created the north and the south. Pebble and the firmament sing for joy as you remain.
You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high your right hand.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you.
Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted.
For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horns exalted.
Yes, our protection comes from the Lord, and he, the Holy One of Israel, has given us honor.
Thank you. So you have 30 seconds to put a sermon together. Sure.
I have a note in my Bible on verse 15 for the second part where it says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And my note was Psalm 119, verse 130, and it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. Amen.
I like when he says, I will, like four times. I will, I will, I will. Mm-hmm. It's like he was set.
Mm-hmm. The Lord made the promise. And so the psalmist is reminding him, you make these promises, Lord. And then in verse 5 it says, that the heavens sing of the wonderful things you do. The Holy Ones sing of your faithfulness, Lord. So even the heavens agree, and we agree on earth with God has promised.
so good to see the first verse. I will sing of the mercies. Mm-hmm. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Mm-hmm. And God is so good to us that we can pass on his goodness, his greatness to our generation, and that generation hopefully will pass it down to others. And this is so wonderful. Just like the Holy Spirit, it says the same thing, mm-hmm. that it will be passed on from generation, yes, to the end.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that we can sing and we can let them know, yes, it's good to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of singing, there's a blessing that comes. The praise comes in, and the Holy Spirit undertakes and takes into our heart, and we can, of course, pass it on to the mm-hmm. generation. Are they upset or are they sad? Sing.
Yes.
Sing. And that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think there's a note in verse 15 there about praise. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. You know, Christians often, they try mm-hmm. to praise and they worship, and we've all been in churches where it seems to fall flat. It's just like, why isn't it rising?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord does something for us, mm-hmm. oftentimes here at camp, where he takes the praise of the people and then lifts it to another level, where
yes.
it's not just natural. There's a supernatural infilling of the praise. I remember reading of Rhys Howells. He was in the Welsh Revival, and then he went as a missionary to Africa for a while. And when the revival came there, he says he was walking between the houses, and he said, that's exactly the same sound in Wales. Same sound. I mean, completely different culture, completely different
mm-hmm.
people, no connection with one another, and yet that's the joyful sound,
mm-hmm.
the sound of people who are entirely free from sin, that they are delivered from the evil one.
Mm-hmm. I will sing, Sister Jean shared, and Brother Dale as well, the steadfast love. Lift my mouth, well, I mean, no, we're going to see that somewhere along the line. I suppose it'll be next week in Exodus chapter 15 when Moses sings a song at the Red Sea on the other side, and we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of singing. But I don't want you to wait a week before you get hold of that, because you'll miss out a week of singing. So here's a side note. If you're going to be up with us and watch Rob for the next 2 weeks, read through at least the first 19 chapters of Exodus, if you have time. I know you have devotions and staff books and your own devotions and then our meetings, and so you may be overloaded with reading and time apart. But if you can, maybe just stay ahead of us a little bit, so every time we get together, it's not a new thing that you're looking at in the book. And then, so when you get to Exodus 15, maybe you want to spend a little bit of time just kind of considering the song that Moses sang, and then the importance of us singing of the steadfast love of God, and with our mouth making known his faithfulness. What do we do with our mouths throughout the day?
Talk what?
What is it that flows from our mouth? We need to be careful. Shared with my family the past week or two before we were coming up to camp, I said, please help me not talk. I feel like I talk too much here at camp. I said, make sure I keep in what I need to keep in. And it's so easy just to talk, and then when we do talk, what is it that flows? Of course, we know from the depths of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what is it that comes out of our mouths as we go through the day? We can be so loose, casual, without thought, just nonsense. And we don't have to walk around being profound all day long and just quoting scripture all day long. That's not the suggestion, but it should always be flavored with this, the song of God's steadfast love and his mercy. Some translations that I use the ESV now, and it says steadfast love. Some of the other translations use that word mercies, which is how we sang it this morning. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I'll make known his faithfulness. But what is gracing, or is there any grace that flows from our mouth? We can get into the sharp words, the sarcasm, the grumbling and complaining. We're going to talk about that in Exodus 2. That means my bed's too hard, my bed's too soft, it's too hot, it's too cold, I don't like this meal, where's the peanut butter? Did I get a nurse? And we'll see in the book of Exodus that, God took great offense when his people grumbled and didn't praise. And I know we have moments where we make comment. We'll call it a comment rather than a complaint. But we have to be careful, because we think that maybe, I'm venting, and it helps me get through and over it. If I could just give me your ear and I'll vent for a little bit and I'll feel better. Mm-hmm. Not usually. Mm-hmm. It just seems to stir the pot. I have things that we use this word now, trigger. Mm-hmm. I have things that trigger me. Mm-hmm. And my family knows those things. Sometimes they do it just to watch me. Other times we may be, out. It happened not too long ago. We were in a restaurant and the waitress said something, and it was one of those trigger words. And my family, they all just kind of trying to. Afterwards, they were telling me we were praying, say anything, don't respond, and change the subject, which they quickly did, and because they know. And politics, I like politics, I like history, but I've tried to walk away, but sometimes you can't avoid it. And then my wife will tell me, you've got to stop, and coming up here we take certain precautions. She says, when we get to camp, do not. just don't get there, because you start and then you complain, and then you've got angles, and it goes on and on, and you think, I'm just going to get this out, but it just boils up, and when you're done, you're no better. And so for yourself, it is nothing but negative. And then for the people around you, if you bring it into the circle, all you do is poison everybody around you. You know how those people are. You can't wait till they leave, and when they leave, you feel like you need to take a bath, because it's just, it just poisoned us, and it changes the tone. And this is what the mouth can do so quickly and easily. We've got to guard it and let it be full of praise and love and rejoicing and worship and kindness and encouragement. And so this is a declaration. Maybe it's an encouragement to himself. Sometimes we have to do that, right? Because these things are an act of the will. Like he says, I will sing. David, Psalm 103 says, I will bless the Lord. And there are times we don't feel like it, and you just have to say, self, you will. You will. And so we have that in these first verses, the mercy of God in verse 2, is where he's saying, I said steadfast love will be built up forever in the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. It's probably a little bit of a play on 2 Samuel, which I referred to before, God's promise to David. Remember what David's great desire was in his lifetime? Was to do what? To build a temple. David wanted to build a house for God. God says, David, you're a man of war and shed blood. And so I'm not going to have you build me a house, but he says, I will build you a house. And turn that blessing onto David. And so here this psalmist is probably picking off of there, saying God is building a house. God is building up mercy and establishing faithfulness. And it's not only to David's household, but to all of us. And then verses 5 to 10, it speaks of God's power, his might. Who can compare? In verse 6, and in verse 10, he makes a little bit of a comparison. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. Rahab means proud one. This is playing off of mythology out of Canaan, this very pagan land and region. And out of the mythology, there's a sea god by the name of Yam, like sweet potato, and a sea serpent, and the name of the sea serpent was Rahab. And the mythology was that there were these gods that controlled the seas. And in the beginning of creation, these certain gods that ruled the sea was a very mysterious place in the Middle Eastern mindset. There was a lot of fear associated with the sea. For instance, when Jesus comes walking on the water to his disciples late that night, and they see him coming, and they were terrified. Of course, that terrify any of us, even if we didn't have that culture. But especially because they feared what went on in the sea. And throughout Scripture, there are moments where that's shown very clearly. But there we see their terror when Jesus is coming to them, because it wasn't just somebody who walked on the water, but they figured this is one of these sea things. These gods that were associated with ruling a sea needed to be defeated by other deities in order to create the earth as we know it. And so there were these great battles in the sea, and Rahab was the sea serpent that they believed had to be defeated in order for creation to happen. And here the psalmist is saying, our God has crushed Rahab. Not the mythical gods, not the legends that you have, not the things that you believe that are out there that are powerful and mighty. So he's kind of bringing in what they would understand and recognizes the great powers of their world and their day. And he's saying that God has overtaken and crushed Rahab. He is the one. And so some of these things we read and we're disconnected from. We read Rahab, and maybe you're in the biblical context, the only one you can think of in the Bible is, right, back in Joshua? Thank you. Who's this Rahab, and how does she fit in here, and why is she getting crushed? I thought that story ended well. But when we have the context and the culture, but that's so far removed, let's bring it today. What's the thing that is in your world that needs to be conquered? What is the thing in your world that seems so powerful, so overwhelming, so in control, that you need the power of God himself, to crush, to break to pieces? This is the point here. The point isn't Rahab. The point is, whatever you think is the greatest power that is working against you, God will crush. And so we read about his might and his strength and his authority, and that he is victor. And then 11 to 14, heaven, earth, the north and the south, all is God's. And then the end of those verses 15 to 18, as was mentioned, the people who know God are blessed. We are. with all spiritual blessings. We don't appreciate that as we ought. God has blessed us. Which brings us back to a reason to sing. So we talked about the end of this chapter that kind of takes a turn. I guess the order of it might bother us a little bit, but I think the overall perspective is okay. That in the midst of trying to get perspective, in the midst of trying to understand why are these things happening, God, why we struggle, God, we thought this was your plan. We thought this was your purpose. We thought you were building a house. We thought nothing could come against us. You said it would be established forever. And it doesn't look like it's going to be forever. We're on a collision course with defeat. Ever been there? Read from Jeremiah last night, the weeping prophet. Babylonians came in and brought defeat after Jeremiah did all he could to prophesy to the people, to cause them to turn them their hearts and bring to them repentance and a warning. And they rejected it, and his heart was broken, and he wept. And he wrote the book of weeping, right? The book of lamentation. That's Jeremiah. His lament, his weeping, God. Your people. There's no hope. There's no future. What will be? He watched his family, his loved ones, his friends, all taken captivity. Some of them killed. Some of them put into slavery. Their city, the city of God, destroyed, everything in ruins. Just God. Thought you had a plan. And in all of his lament, right in the very heart of it, you know, those precious verses that we recite and we sing. His mercies are new every morning. If it were not for his compassion, for his love, we would be consumed. Great is his faithfulness. In the depth, in his brokenness, in his despair, like in this psalm, God is still merciful. God is still faithful. I may not see it right now. That's what last night Jeremiah 32 was about. Jeremiah, buy the land. You don't see it now. It doesn't make sense now that you're investing in the future that's unknown. The point that God is trying to make is, I know the future. I have a plan for the future. And I promise you, Jeremiah, if you buy this land, there's coming a day you'll take possession of it. I haven't forgotten. And so here's this, God, what's going on? Where'd you go? What happened to your promise? I'm faithful. Sing of my mercies. Sing of my greatness. I've not forsaken. I have crushed Rahab, all of your enemies, all that come against you. And so we can take this to ourselves and stand on the promises of God, who is faithful, and rest in knowing that no matter how great the enemy looks today, my God is great.
Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
We can have this confidence, this assurance. Lord, there are some here that are facing real struggles today. Maybe they've not shared them with anyone. It just looks like there's nothing but despair and defeat. And maybe they feel like you've gone back on your promise. Lord, help us to see past the moment. Look past the enemy. Know that there is a great God who stands by his word. Cannot lie, and he never fails. So, Lord, we take from you today victory. We take today, Lord, peace, rest. Lord, we will stand back and watch you do great and wondrous things. Lord, give us joy. And even in the midst of struggle, in the midst of despair around us, in the midst of circumstances that aren't right, Lord, give us your joy and your peace. Lord, give us a song. Oh, be praised.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Wonderful Jesus. Staff. We've run into a few walls, some that had hoped to be here that last minute, not been able to come, some that are normally here that couldn't come, some that are here that are going to be stretched very thin and really need the help of the Lord, some that came last night and ended up with trouble on the road and ended up hours later and came in the middle of the night and haven't been be ready to go with responsibilities today. And so we really need to believe God. I don't want to give any glory or attention undue, but you know, we can't ignore that there are spiritual battles that take place. And sometimes it's not just circumstance and, oh well, just another bump and another bump and another bump. My wife prayed the other day, even at home, that there were some things that she just felt on our way up. There's spiritual battles and that even we were sensing on our way here Our God is greater. Our God will crush the enemy, break to pieces.
Yes.
But we need to be aware and then be in prayer. That God would bring victory in these areas and help in these areas, even from ways and places and ways we don't know. So, Lord, we ask that you come now. Lord, you know the need. This period, Lord, even for next period, you know the shortage that we face, Lord, and what we expect and what we would hope and need. And, Lord, we ask that you would provide, dear God, whether it be with extra help that would come, Lord, whether it be amongst ourselves where you'll give extra grace, extra strength, oh God, added wisdom, Lord, so that these tasks can be accomplished, Lord, that in the midst of it, Lord, that you would give us joy, Lord, that you would help us even in added work, Lord, in things that we didn't anticipate. Lord, that you would just help us along the way. Lord, we pray especially for Sister Min, for Brother Tom, Lord, those that are carrying the weight of many of these needs, Lord, that you would come to them and give them the help they need, give them wisdom they need, give them strength that they need, dear God. Lord, we pray that you would step in now, any work of the enemy, Lord, would you crush, Lord, any foothold, any end, Lord, would you just push back, would you protect, Lord, these grounds, Lord, and the need here, the spirit here, the atmosphere here, the environment, oh God, let none of these things get in the way and distract from what you desire to do. And so, Lord, we believe that you'll bring victory in these areas today. We believe it, Lord, that the answer is even on the way. So, Lord, let it be, dear God, bring the help, Lord. And so this day we commit our way to you. Order our steps, dear God, and bless each one for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.